Please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 9 through 29. And it is a further privilege. Pastor Har, when he was at Lafayette, came to my church when I was a bit younger, and so was he. But it's wonderful how the Lord works and brings everything about. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. This is God's holy word. "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head, the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you've heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." May God bless this reading and our hearing of his holy word. Let us pray and ask God's blessing on our time this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us here together to worship, to sing your praises, to pray, to read your word, to hear your word preached. May your spirit be at work in our hearts to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Lord, may you show us where we are in error and need correction. May you comfort us in our grief and affliction. Lord, may you do your work and nurture us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So if you were to think in your mind what your ideal pastor would be like, look like, sound like, act like, what would he be like? What are the things that you find are important in a minister or in a preacher? What would he do? Now, we probably have a ton of different opinions about what that would be here in this room this morning. And I guarantee you, every one of us would be wrong. The pastor or the preacher does not exist in order to satisfy our own personal preferences or what we think a pastor or preacher should be like. We need to take our expectations from God's word and not our own little brains, which are finite and very limited, and we are just creatures. We need to take the Creator's view of what a pastor or a preacher would be like. What is his principal or ultimate job and task? I'm going to give it away right away. It is to preach the word. It is to preach the word. He is not to preach so as to gather followers for himself, as the super apostles did in 2 Corinthians. He is to point us to Jesus Christ, to study a passage of scripture, to understand it the best that he can, and to present it to us so that we may understand and help us apply it in our lives and to our hearts. This is his principal job, is to preach the word. You ever wonder why do we have a pulpit? Why do we have this kind of lectern piece of furniture here? And in other churches, it's not wood, but they're glass or metal. They shouldn't be glass or metal, or at least if it's metal, it should be solid. Because the idea of a pulpit, even though it's very nice to hold one's notes and Bible, it is actually there to hide the preacher. It is there to hide the preacher so that you only see a portion of him, so that instead of just wondering what he looks like, you are focused on what he is saying, and more importantly, the God whom he is preaching. This is the role of the preacher. And so we need to look at the task of the preacher in three ways. First, the preacher's proclamation. The preacher's proclamation. Second is the preacher's purpose. What is his purpose? And third, finally, the preacher's people. The preacher's people. So let's look at our passage this morning. We're going to focus on verses 28 and 29. However, we will refer to some other portions of Colossians chapter 1 as well. But let's get started with the preacher's proclamation. The preacher's proclamation. Look with me at verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We are people of the book. People of the book. Literally, we are people of the book. This book. Or the copy that you have in your hands. We're not people of YouTube videos, however helpful they may be. We're not even people of articles that we read online. We are people of the book. A pastor or a preacher is to study the word so that he may understand it, explain it to us, and help us apply it to our lives. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Holy Spirit works in and through the preached word so that we may become more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. The preacher is to preach the word. Paul tells Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season, when it is convenient and when it is not, when it is popular and when it is unpopular. And I'll give you a hint, most of the time it is unpopular. We don't want to hear what the gospel has to say to us. We don't like the mirror that it shines in our face. We need to see our sin and also be shown our Savior. But why the word? Why the word? If we were to do it, we would think of something else, right? Something more engaging, as it were, than just words on a page. Well, they aren't just words on the page. They are God's word, and he has ordained his word as the means of communication by which we are to know him. Yes, we can know something from creation, But the principal way that we are informed of what who God is and what he has done and what he is going to do is his word. It is his word. And so the preacher is to preach the word and not something else. These aren't cleverly devised fables of his own imagination. This is God's holy word. And the word is steady. It is objective. And guess what? When the preacher says something, you can check it against the word. You see, the Holy Spirit works in and through the preached word of God to change us. Week after week, sermon after sermon, over time, the Holy Spirit works in and through the preached word to sanctify us, to make us more into the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is through the preached word. We're not transformed into a closer reflection of Jesus Christ simply because we have an emotional reaction to something that someone says. The preacher is to preach to the mind and to the heart. When we think of the heart, we don't think of emotions, as it were. It's not just ginning up our spiritual emotions or feelings. The heart is getting to the very core of who we are, what we believe, what we are affected by, what we love, what we desire, the very core, our guts, as it were. The preacher preaches for the very core of who we are. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. It is not merely intellectual. It is not merely emotional. It pays due regard. But the word gets at us at our very core. And that is why we need to listen when the word is preached. We are changed time over time and time again by the preaching the word. Because the preacher is not simply an inspirational speaker. The preacher is not here to entertain you. He may tell a joke. He may be just naturally funny, but he may not be. But what must he be is faithful to preaching the word of God. And the word of God about who? Word of God about Jesus Christ. We must focus on Jesus Christ. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot said, not to be said, in our general church culture about preaching being relevant. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I don't know if you have, but I'll share some thoughts about it. So we think about preaching needs to touch people where they are. And for sure, many times we do. But do people always know what it is that they need? Do we as humble preachers know at every moment what we need? A child may be hungry even though they just ate. Do they really need to eat again? Or they just want some more food because it tasted good? Do we really know what we need all the time? We are but children. Does the Bible always need to be quote-unquote relevant to us where we are at the present time? Or do we need to be more relevant to the Bible? Are there things that you hear in a sermon you say, oh, that sounds strange? Well, as long as it's according to right doctrine, which of course here it would be, maybe it's not the thing being said that's strange, but that you need to get on the same page with Scripture. Maybe you don't know the Bible well enough. You need to get on God's page rather than expecting Him to get on yours. We need to be relevant to the Bible, not only the Bible being relevant to us. We cannot come to church and expect, when we have lived a worldly life the entire week, to come here and everything seem normal. If you're living a worldly life, the world is going to seem normal and this is going to seem strange. We need to come with hearts on fire to hear God's word, because it is in God's word that we have life. The world is death. The word is life. So repent of the worldly stuff of coming to church to expect to be entertained and instead get on God's page. And how do you do that? By listening to his word preached. And he transforms us by his word. Romans chapter 10. This is quoting Isaiah 52. Romans 14, rather. How beautiful are the feet of him who bring good news. It is Romans 10. My bulletin is covering up. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. How are we to know about Jesus Christ and the good news of him except a preacher tell us? Preacher understanding the word and applying it to our lives. A preacher is to preach about Jesus Christ. If you just look in Colossians chapter 1, you see a list of who Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the agent of creation, so that by him all things were made. He is preeminent above all things in existence, or anything that could ever actually be in existence. He is preeminent above all. He is the head of the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the hope of glory. He is our only hope in life and death. Jesus Christ and the word about him is the most important thing that could ever occupy your mental space. Whatever else is up there, even this morning, push it out, because you need to learn of Jesus Christ, even if you've heard the words before. You need to eat every day. You need to hear the word of Jesus Christ preached. He is the one who has made peace between God and man by his blood on the cross. He has redeemed his people. It is by him we have the forgiveness of our sins. In him we are presented as blameless and without reproach before the Father. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day to open your ears, or to pray that God would open your ears and open your heart. We can so easily take for granted the fact that you hear a biblical, faithful sermon week in and week out. Church should be the reason, especially Sunday morning worship, church should be the reason that you miss everything else. Not the other way around. If we really want to learn of Jesus Christ, we really want to be transformed into his image, why do we neglect opportunities to do so? We should be here, because it is here where you learn of Jesus Christ. So the faithful preacher preaches the word, and the word Jesus Christ. So what is the preacher's purpose? The preacher's purpose. Well, look with me at the end of verse 28. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. Or other versions have it, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Paul gives us a purpose statement here, the ESV, that, or another translation, so that. You might say, so that? Well, so what? So that. It is a purpose statement. By presenting everyone, every man, woman, boy, and girl, complete or mature or perfect in Jesus Christ. We say the word perfect and people think, well, wow, I am not perfect. I could never be perfect. That's not the image. It's more complete, lacking nothing. Perfect just doesn't mean without error, the absence of a negative. The presence of a positive. It's not that we have made no mistakes, it is also that we have done everything right in Christ. He is the one who has filled the law full. The picture here is of a mature adult believer of whatever age, presented to Jesus Christ, like a bride coming down the aisle in shimmering white to meet her husband. A bride wouldn't do an oil change on her truck in her wedding gown and then come to her wedding service. It's shimmering white, not all covered in grease and oil. We are to be presented mature or complete, like a bride to her husband. And do you see what freedom that brings to us as we look at verses 9 through 12 of what Christ enables us to do, and we can only do in and through him? This is Paul's prayer for the church in Colossae. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. As followers of Jesus Christ, our overriding joy and passion and purpose in this life needs to be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. This doesn't mean that we do it on our own effort or that we merit anything as we so do, but as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, we obey him. We obey him in heart, in mind, and in action. And you see what kind of freedom this brings to us as we are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We no longer have to be chained by sin. We can repent of our anger. We can let go of bitterness. We don't have to have everything just so according to as we want it. We don't have to be in control and in command of every single situation. We can acknowledge that God is sovereign. We can live under his authority. We don't have to be small g gods of our own lives. We can receive the word of God as comfort as we need it. When we are in error, as correction. We do not need to be tied to our former ways of sin. Sin is not freedom. As creatures of God, the only freedom that we have is living as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. It is only in him that we have life. Thank God for a preacher who will tell you what you need to hear and not simply just what you want to hear. Thank God for him. Thank God for one who will risk his relationship with people and with the congregation so that they may be more like Jesus Christ. So that they hear the word that they need to hear and not just the word that they want to hear. The pastor presents his people, as it were, to Christ, as Christ then presents them to the Father. And for this, if you read in verse 29, Paul toils or labors. And for a preacher who is faithfully preaching the word, this is a labor of love. We often think, well, especially in our culture, if somebody makes me feel good, then they're loving. But if somebody says a hard thing to me, well, they're hateful, and we don't want to have anything to do with them because they haven't affirmed me as I am right now. But that's not love. The Bible doesn't know that kind of quote-unquote love. The Bible knows a love that is sacrificial, in which one puts others' interests above his own a love that is sacrificial. If you've spent any time with a preacher outside of church, you know that everything in his life is oriented to Sunday morning. Before even he leaves Sunday afternoon, he's probably thinking about next week already. And as someone who's grown up with a preacher, I know this to be the case. But everything in his life is oriented toward proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a labor of love. He is willing to tell you what you need to hear. He is willing to risk his relationship so that you know what you need to know, that you hear the word that you need to. There are many hours spent by himself in the study, understanding God's word. It's a joyful sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice nonetheless. There are many hours spent by himself. There are family functions that he misses so that you may know the word of Jesus Christ. There are sleepless nights in concern and burdened by you all as well. Give God thanks for such a preacher as that. But notice the preacher does not do this on his own effort. The end of verse 29. Struggling with all his energy, or Christ's might, that he works powerfully within him. It is the power of Jesus Christ at work, even in the life of the preacher, to bring you good news. So this is the preacher's purpose, that you may be presented complete, mature in Christ, walking in a manner worthy of him. And then lastly, very briefly, the preacher's people. The preacher's people. Now, everybody needs to hear God's word. Everybody needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the general call of the gospel. But in God's providence, he normally calls one man to be pastor of a local congregation, such as here, where I come from as well. And so you might ask, well, what are we as the people to do? First and foremost, the people are to respond. To respond. Now, we are good Presbyterians, and so maybe in the worship service ourselves, we will just sit quietly as we listen and take in the word. Totally fine. But have you ever spoken to your pastor after the sermon and engaged in what he has said and what he has explained to you and how he has applied it to you? Do you pray for your pastor before you come to worship? If you want a better preacher, pray for him. Don't just expect it simply because you showed up. Do you see your pastor's feet as beautiful? Someone who is bringing you good news. Is it possible your pastor, and I don't know this, but is it possible your pastor is overburdened by administrative work and could focus more time on preaching if y'all volunteered to help him with administrative things? Or if you responded to his announcement about helping with your fall festival? Do you think that would help your pastor? He is a servant, but he is here as more than just a servant. Don't treat him as a servant, but give him the due respect that his work and his office demand. Encourage him and pray for him and support him. May we live our lives pleasing to the Lord, hearing the preached word week after week, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Thank God for a preacher who preaches the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Holy Scripture. And we know that we're not to just gather followers to a man, Lord, that's not your intent, but that the man is to point to Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gospel of Christ, repenting of our sins and turning to him in faith. And we thank you for all of the men who faithfully proclaim this good news. We ask that you would so work in our hearts week after week, so that we may become more like our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.